The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
I'm delighted we're joined for the Culture Club today by Aoife Dooley. You may remember Aoife was with us recently talking about her acclaimed book, Frankie's World, the graphic novel based on her real life experiences of autism. And I believe since we were talking to you, not just a success in Ireland, but a deal which is going to have it for sale in the United States later this year.
Yeah, in August. Yeah, really looking forward to it. It's really exciting.
Tell us about that, though. I mean, how do you think will it appeal to the American audience?
I have no idea. I suppose it's going to be completely different in that sense. Like, the book is the same. There's a few pages that would be slightly different, but I have no idea. I think some things, you know, obviously the language and stuff would have changed. So like a school tour would be field trip. So I think in that way it would probably translate well, but I have no idea how, because I don't know anyone in the States. So it'd be interesting to see.
That's interesting. Yeah. You even say a thing like a school tour, field trip. Have you had to go and sort of Americanize it, or somebody do that for you?
Well, someone does it for me, thank God, because there's so much there that I probably would have had to change now, to tell you the truth. So, because there's a lot of Dublin kind of things in it. Even for the UK version, I had to kind of go, right, well, are people in the UK going to get this reference? So it was kind of, yeah.
Which sort of ones?
Oh, I have to think now. There was like, even when the woman on the bus, when she's giving out to Frankie and her friends, and she goes, will you lot ever stop, or will you lot ever like shut up? Yeah. I thought that kind of translate well across the board, but I wanted to have her like saying something like, will you be quiet? But I just thought that it wouldn't kind of like, the way I wanted to spell it wouldn't have translated well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understandable. All right. But listen, it's been a great success for you. Are you doing more books now on the back of this, are you?
I have another one actually coming out in 2 or 3 weeks, it is. It's called ABC Ireland. So it's my second board book. So that's coming out next. So.
Okay, what do you mean by a board book?
It's like a children's board book, like, you know, like a counting with numbers book, or an alphabet book. So it's made out of cardboard. So it's a bit thicker, you know, for babies to eat on and stuff, so they don't swallow the paper.
All right, excellent. So, Aoife Dooley, Culture Club time. And let's get through your various choices. What we do for every guest is we ask them to recall for us the first piece of music that they bought, and then we see whether they're actually really telling the truth about it or not. What do you remember first buying?
I don't even think I probably would have bought it. I say my mum would have bought it after I begged her, because everyone else in my class had it. And it was Alice DJ, Better Off Alone. And I remember it because I remember exactly how the single itself looked. It was like purple and it had the black circle and then the white plus sign. I remember exactly how it looked. And it literally, I think I just played it so much until it broke. I honestly remember just playing it on repeat all the time, because my mum couldn't listen to it anymore.
It was a 7-inch single, was it?
It was a CD, yeah.
Oh, a CD. You can tell the age of our guests whether they're talking about CDs or whether they're talking about
CD,
vinyl records. It's a CD.
Yeah.
But it would be. It was 1999. Let's hear a little bit of it. Mother demented if you were blasting that out all the time.
I'm starting to think, did the CD even break, or did she break it? Because you used to play it in the school, like on the school run every morning, and I think she just got fed up. She started buying her own CDs then, so I couldn't play mine anymore.
Okay, it's actually, now that I hear it, I mean, it's 1999, but I do remember it, vaguely do remember it. Okay, let's move on to other things. So let's move on to your favourite music, your favourite band. Who have you gone for?
Sonic Youth.
Okay, why is that?
I don't know. I got into them probably when I was about 14, 15. And I've no older brothers or sisters or anything, but a few friends I would have been working with, I think maybe in Smith's at the time when I was about 16, I started kind of listening to them, I think. And I just loved them. I loved the sounds, and just the it just sounds real gritty. I absolutely love that about them. And I love There's a song that they have, Hey Joni, and the start of it. That's, I've probably listened to that song like 1,000 times, and I love the start of it because it reminds me of the motorway. I know that's a really random thing to say, but it sounds, I used to live just off the M50, and you can hear like all motorbikes and all going up it, like, but like really kind of echoey, and the start of that song always reminds me of it. So I just like the kind of experimental things that they do in their music as well, just the different sounds.
What we have actually is Superstar cover from the Carpenters song. They did a cover album called If I Were a Carpenter. What was that all about?
I have no idea. I remember that song, Superstar. It wouldn't be like my particularly favourite song, but it is a great song though. But I think my favourite albums from them though definitely would have been, I think, Daydream Nation or Sonic Nurse. They would be my favourites now, yeah.
Okay, well, the one we have, let's hear a little bit of Superstar.
I know, it's same age as me. That's actually mad.
Okay, that's Sonic Youth. So, favourite album. You might have gone for a Sonic Youth album, but given that you nominated them as a favourite band, you've gone for Enema of the State by Blink 182.
Oh, Blink 182.
Blink 182, sorry. Yeah. That's what I've been given. Okay.
Blink 182.
Okay, that's a good one. Blink 182. Tell us about them.
Oh, they were my favourite band, I think, growing up. I started listening to them from about 9, and I just collected all their albums, and that was one of my favourite albums now, because I loved all their videos, because I remember watching it. I didn't have Kerrang now personally myself because we couldn't afford that, but my nana did. So I used to go over to her house and I used to record the whole day of just all these music videos, and about like maybe 10 Blink 182 videos would pop up in the day, and I'd just bring it home and I'd put it in the VHS and I'd play it then. So literally, I loved them.
These are the days from video cassettes.
Video cassettes. She hadn't got a DVD player yet. Like, she wasn't that fancy now, but the video cassettes. And my whole room was just covered in posters and cutouts from different magazines that they were in, and just even some of their album covers I hung on my wall. Like, so yeah, the wall would have been actually, I'd say, a good kind of I can't describe on radio what it looks like, but it's like it would have been a giant wall, basically just covered in all their posters. I was a hardcore
fan.
Giant
collage.
Yeah, it was insane. I wish I had a picture of it, but I never took a picture. I didn't have a phone.
Was that one of your earliest sort of artistic works in some respect?
It probably was, because I used to draw them on stage all the time. So I'd be watching like Kerrang and I'd draw them when they were moving and stuff. I wish I still had all these drawings, because I say it'd be interesting to see them again now, yeah.
Well, what age were you drawing from?
Probably as far back as I remember. I think as soon as I could.
All kids draw very early, but when did you sort of get serious about it?
I think I was serious about it probably by 4th or 5th class. Like, whenever we got like an art project, I was very competitive with it. I always wanted mine to be the best. I put so much work into it. And it was the only thing that I really worked really hard on, I think, was art. So I think I became serious about it in 4th class. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's hear a bit of Blink 182 from Enema of the State. Here's All the Small Things.
Best trip, always, I know.
102 from Animated State. That's All the Small Things. I think you're the first person, Aoife Dooley, during the Culture Club to mention Kerrang. And I remember Kerrang as a magazine from the 1980s. I still think it comes out as a magazine,
it does.
Doesn't it?
I think it does, yeah. Because I remember I used to get it as a kid as a magazine as well. And it was they had all the comic strips in it as well. I think the comic strip was called Pandora or something. But yeah, I used to get the magazines are great. I think they're still going, yeah.
Okay, let's move on. And best gig. Have you got an opportunity to see either Sonic Youth or Blink 182 in a gig in person?
I haven't had the opportunity to see Sonic Youth, but if given the chance, I would absolutely jump on it though, because I say they're amazing live. But I think for me, Blink 182, it was one of the first gigs that I went to as well. I think I was 11. And it's really funny thinking back on it now, because I can actually see it still from that same perspective. I know I'm only like 5'1" now, but I was probably 4 foot something back then. So it seems like I was a lot smaller, but I can still remember it. And one of the most magical things I think about that gig for me was it was my first ever like rock gig, you might say. And I remember I was really far back from the stage. So I was at the very back of it. It was the Tree Arena, very back. And what happened was Travis Barker went down in this kind of, I don't know, it was like an underground tunnel or something. And he came up right beside where we were standing at the back, but we had no clue that was going to happen. And that just blew my mind. And he threw two sticks and this dude jumped in front of us and grabbed them. But I nearly had them and I'll never forgive him for that. I don't know where he is now, but I hope that you like them drumsticks. This going back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, just a small child. Hope you feel terrible.
Okay, but that isn't the best gig that you're going to nominate. You're nominating Ice Cube from the Kaboo Music Festival in Del Mar.
Yeah, that was an experience, because I'd never been to a festival, I don't think, outside of Ireland before. So we were actually going over to the States for a holiday, and my partner has a friend over there, so we met up with them and we went to this festival. I'd never heard of it before, but it was one of the best festivals I've ever been to. I don't think...
Why was that?
Were you at it?
No, but why was it?
It was just incredible. Everything was so big. There were so many different bands on, and just to be able to see Ice Cube live, I just thought was insane. And it was after the gig ended, it was the party wasn't over. Like, they had this big, is it called an airplane hangar? Basically, yeah. Like this huge warehouse where they had this giant rave, and just the drinks. You know when you get a drink at a festival over here, it barely does anything to you. Not in this place. Oh my God, Ian. I literally had this vodka and they put watermelon juice in it. I couldn't taste the vodka. I was gone by the end of the night, but I had the best time I think I've ever had in my life. Like, just because everything was so different and new, I think. It'd be like if someone came over to Electric Picnic and they'd never been before. I think there's that kind of element of it as well. But yeah, I thought it was a really special...
It was the unexpected,
made
it
yeah,
so good,
it was. It was.
Well, we have a bit of Ice Cube, not from that particular group, but this is him playing Woodstock Live in 99. Check Yourself.
You better check yourself or you wreck yourself. Come on, everybody, come on. Yo. Everybody, just throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if you want to go rock with my nigga Ice Cube, somebody say, oh yeah. You better check yourself or you wreck yourself, because I'm bad for your health. I come real still, dropping bombs on your mom. Walk on up. Nigga with the Alpine, 34-60, always let tricks know, and friends know, we got the intro.
Okay, that's Ice Cube. What's the attraction of Ice Cube?
I love rap music as well, so... Oh, yeah, I absolutely love Ice Cube. So when I knew that he was playing there, I wanted to go and see him. We actually split up through the whole festival, because we wanted to see some people and then our friends wanted to see other people. So, but I was adamant I wanted to see Ice Cube, because I've just seen some of his live gigs before, like on you know, YouTube or whatever, and I really wanted to go and see him. But I think one of the most mind-blowing things that happened at his gig was he said something about smoking weed every day, and literally we were standing back. And you just see this big cloud of smoke where everyone in the actual audience was smoking. And it was in California, so obviously it's legal. But I just thought that was so funny, because you'd never see it anywhere else. So it was, yeah.
Of course, you're also from a generation that's listening to a lot of rap. We know, and maybe some bit younger as well. We have a lot of Irish rappers now, don't we?
Yeah,
well?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
I'm doing some really good stuff.
Yeah. I listen to like all different kinds of music now. Rock would be my favourite, but I think rap would be my second favourite now.
Yeah, you wouldn't normally put rock and rap
I know,
together, would
I
you?
I know, you wouldn't, no. Of a random taste, I think.
There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, Aoife Dooley is with us for the Culture Club here on The Last Word on Today FM. And we're going to come back and talk about television, movies and books and things like that in the second part of the Culture Club after we've had the traffic. Welcome back. Aoife Dooley is with us for the Culture Club today. Aoife, of course, is an award-winning illustrator, author and comedian. And of course, her book Frankie's World is one that we've spoken about previously, a graphic novel based on her real-life experiences of autism. Do you read a lot?
Do you know what? I would be a bit of a reluctant reader. I was told growing up that I was a slow reader and by one of my teachers, and that kind of knocked my confidence with it a bit. So I've only recently got into reading, I'd say.
Sorry, that's a terrible thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Your confidence would get knocked even by a comment like that.
Yeah, I think that...
rather than an encouragement.
Oh, well, it was an accumulation of things as well. I think it was the fact of reading in front of the class and then being slow and people laughing at you, the teacher telling you that like you're not like a quick enough reader, all these kind of things. So I just kind of grew up feeling that I wasn't good at reading, or reading wasn't for me. And it was probably the biggest mistake, and I wish that someone had told me a lot sooner. You know, no, reading's for everybody. You just have to find your book. And I think for me, I love visual things. So sometimes I can find it very hard to concentrate on reading if I'm not kind of getting something visually from it. I know you can see these things in your head when you're reading and you can kind of like imagine what these are going to be like. But sometimes I like it just in front of me so I can see how it actually is. And so I love graphic novels.
I was just about to bring up that because as a child, I would have loved things like the Asterix books. I don't know if you ever come across those. It's French books translated into England, but they were English and they were all wordplay and brilliantly done. And there's just something about, for I think particularly when you're young and a child, you can get an enormous amount out of seeing the visual images and gags as well with the actual words.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's a really good way to get into reading for reluctant readers anyway, for like reading graphic novels or anything of that kind of genre.
But what about adult graphic novels? Do you read those?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have loads that I'm after buying now recently that I have yet to read. But one of my favourites that I like is that I've read recently would be Heartstopper. That's young adult, actually. But that whole series is great. And that is Alice Osman. She has, I think there's like four volumes of it out, and it's basically about like this, these two teenage boys, Nick and Charlie, and they're in school together. And I think Charlie is openly gay, but Nick is in the closet. He's not really, like, he doesn't want anyone to know. And it's about their story and how they come together. And it's a really nice story, I think. And it's representation as well. I think there needs to be more of that in books. So that's something that I've enjoyed reading recently. And I really like Persepolis as well. By, is it Mary-Jane Satrapi?
Satrapi,
yeah. I really, really love that graphic novel. And what the beautiful thing about that graphic novel as well is it's a really hard story, but it's told so beautifully because you see her as a young child, and by the time you get to the end of the graphic novel, like, you see her grow throughout the graphic novel, but it's ever so subtle that you don't actually see it.
The Iranian Revolution, I think, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. So it's basically, you see all these things from her perspective as a child, and she kind of just, you don't really even see it happening. She just grows as the book goes along, and I think that's a really nice way to tell a story as well. So that's one of, I think, just illustration-wise as well, it's probably the most beautiful graphic novels I've ever read.
And given that you have done a couple of graphic novels yourself, is that what you tend to read a lot of now, do you?
Yeah, no, I love graphic novels. I love all just anything comic-related. And it's funny because I only found out recently, because obviously I only met my biological father in 2015, so we didn't know each other before that. And I only got to know him for, I think it was like 5 days, and he passed away in 2017. Crazy story, not really anything to do with now, but sorry. He basically, he only read comics as well. Literally, he used to read The Viz, I think. He only read comics. So it's funny. I think it's probably one of those things. It's like a preference thing, or maybe it's in my genes, because he was the same. I thought it was really interesting.
That is very interesting. Sorry, do you mind me asking though, you only met him for the first time, had 5 days with him, and then he died not long afterwards?
Yeah, well, that sounds really kind of dramatic, but like, I met him in 2015. I got to meet him for the day because he was living in the UK. Then I went back over maybe a week or two later, spent 5 days with him, and we talk on and off on the phone then. But because he lived in Mansfield in the UK. Okay. It was hard to kind of get there in a plane. So I only got to meet him the once or twice. And then 2017, he passed away then from TB.
Oh, Lord.
So it was like, yeah, it was really kind of, yeah.
How important though was it to you that you got that time, even if it was limited?
It was, do you know what? It opened up my whole world meeting them, because there was always a huge sense of me growing up as a child and just even an adult not really knowing fully who I was. And the moment I met him, it was just instant. We were the same person. We got on so well. We literally had the same jokes. We laughed at the same things. And my auntie, his sister, is the exact same. So it kind of opened up a whole new family to me in that way. And then I just, I'm trying to actually look more into the history of their family, because I know my granddad and my great granddad came from, I don't know whether it's Poland or maybe it's Russia, and they escaped the Holocaust and moved to the UK. So I'm trying to find out more about the family history as well, because they changed their second name when they moved to the UK. So it's opened up a whole world of wonder, I suppose, in a way, but like in a really interesting way. So it's I'm really glad I did it.
There's a graphic novel in that in itself, almost, yeah. Isn't there, in that story?
Yeah.
What age were you when you met him?
I was, I think, 23 or 24, I think it was, yeah.
I can't imagine, that must have been so emotional, was it?
It was. It was really kind of, I remember us getting the taxi together to go out for the first time, and we didn't speak a word, but we just kept looking at each other because we didn't know what to say, because we'd never seen each other before, really. We talked on the phone, of course, but hadn't met each other in person, and because he didn't have Facebook or anything, I didn't really know what he looked like. So that was such a shock when I seen him, because we were the exact same.
How did the meeting come about at that stage?
It was really funny. I'd been talking about it for years, and my auntie just said, "Hey, have you ever seen this website? It's called Finder Monkey." And I was like, "No." And she's like, "Oh, look into it." So I did, and I contacted them saying, "I'm looking for my father. This is his name. I think he's probably born in and around this time. He was the same age as my mom. I don't really know where he lived. I know he's from London, and he basically lived in this place." And I gave the name of one place, the road that he lived on. And with that information, they were able to find him and track him down. And it took about, I'd say, 5 weeks. And then we were able to make contact.
And it all worked out well.
It worked out very well for me, yeah. So I was delighted, because it could have went either way. And that's the kind of worry when you're doing something like that. Sometimes it doesn't go well. You hear about people like slamming the door on people's faces and stuff like that, and awful things. So I think the fact that we got to speak before I'd done that and went over, it was nice. So I kind of had the... he really wanted to meet me. I knew that going over then. So that was a really nice way of doing it. And they made the initial contact as well, because... I was afraid to just call up and go, "Hey, you're my dad." I just thought that'd be a shocking thing to say. So it was nice that I had that option as well. Yeah.
And you were able to show him your work as well.
Yeah. I think my very, very first book had just come out. So he got to see that. But that was really nice, because my mom obviously didn't get to see any of this. So it was nice to share that one thing then with my dad. So
your mother has passed away?
Yeah, she passed away. I think it was 4 years before him. So 2013.
Okay.
So yeah.
Wow, sorry, this is not where I expected to be going on the Culture Club. But
sorry, that was just
what I got. Don't be sorry, it's really, really interesting. And wow, that is really interesting. Okay, look, let's talk about other things. Favourite movie?
I think Napoleon Dynamite for me. I know it's an odd choice, but...
Why do you think it's an odd choice?
I think it's an odd choice because it kind of... To me, it's very much an indie movie, and it's a peculiar choice because I don't think it's for everybody. And I know this because...
Describe it to us.
How would I describe Napoleon Dynamite? It's basically a movie about middle America, I'd say. And it's about this kid called Napoleon Dynamite. He's basically a bit of a dork, I'd say. And it just follows his life... living in middle America. And it's a very kind of, it's very, I love all these kind of like movies where they're kind of, it's not bland. I think that's a very bad way to describe it, but like there's not really anything in particular that happens in the movie. It just follows his life and his friends and the prom at the end. And I just like the visuals of it. I love the colour of the lockers. I just remember like all those little aspects of the movie as well. His uncle's trailer, like all these things. It's a very aesthetically pleasing movie to watch, I think. But my parents absolutely hate that. My mom's stepdad hated it because I watched it all the time as well, and I just didn't get it. It wasn't for them. I feel like it was wasted on them because I thought it was such a good movie.
Okay, let's hear a clip from it. John Hedner and Aaron Rule in Napoleon Dynamite.
Kip hasn't done flipping anything today.
Look, tonight me and your... Kip, listen.
What?
Tonight me and your aunt are going to go visit some friends, and we're not going to be back till tomorrow. We're getting a little low on steak, so I got Lyle coming over tomorrow to take care of it.
Well, what's there to eat?
Knock it off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
Fine.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Stay home and eat all the freaking chips, Kip.
My point, don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day. Besides, we both know I'm training to become a cage fighter.
Since when, Kip? You have the worst reflexes of all time.
Try and hit me, Napoleon.
What?
I said come down here and see what happens if you try and hit me.
Such an idiot.
Let me see what your best move is.
I'll go get it.
Jeez.
Napoleon Dynamite. I see as well, though, that you love the 80s Brat Pack movies, most of which were made before you were even born.
Yeah, I love all those movies as well. 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink. I used to watch them all the time. Yeah.
All on the VHS, is it?
No, it wasn't actually. I think it was whenever they were on the TV and then... Yeah, I think my mum might have had like a few, not DVDs, but VHSs of it actually, yeah. Because there was one or two we didn't have that we'd watch on TV and we would record it then when we actually got the chance to do that when the future came. But I love all those movies as well. And then I think it's for the aesthetic as well. I think that's why I like it as well. The visuals.
Why? What particular visuals are attractive to you?
I think it's number one, the fashion. Definitely the fashion. And then also just the visuals and the architecture of things. So like the school in the Breakfast Club, just the layout of it. I find like I don't even watch these movies. I just watch them for the things that are in them. I'm like, that looks so cool. But
where they went to have detention.
Exactly. And I'm just looking around at everything, like taking it all in. And I think it's Pretty in Pink I really like as well. The Record Store. I wish that existed here now. It just looks amazing. All those little things, I think. Yeah.
Let's move on to television. You've nominated a couple of TV shows that I'm actually not familiar with. Claws and Peacemaker. Start with Claws. Tell us about that.
Well, these are... I don't know if I answered this right for you now because these are relatively new shows. But
that's
I can
fine
tell you,
if they're the ones that you're really into.
Yeah.
You know.
I watch so much, so I was just thinking, what's the last thing I really enjoyed? And for me, it has to be Claws. Claws was honestly... It was one of those things where I think if all four seasons had been out, I probably would have watched it in
Binge
2 days.
Oh
yeah, absolutely. It was just one of those shows.
But what's it about?
It's about basically, it's about this woman called Desna and she owns this nail salon and all her friends work there. So she has a friend called Jen, Polly, and there's another girl who comes into it then a bit later. But basically, they're all working there and they end up working for, do you know your man? Do you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
So, what's your man's name? I can't remember his name.
Bryan
Cranston, but
Bob Odenkirk, who played in Better Call Saul.
Who was the DEA agent? His brother-in-law. I can't remember his name.
Oh yes, who was also in The Shield. I know exactly who the very bald, heavy guy.
Yes, Dean something his name is.
Yeah, it'll come back to you, but I know exactly who you mean. Yeah.
He basically is in it, but he's a gangster in it and he's part of like, it's like a Dixie Mafia type
Dean
thing.
Dean Norris, I'm
That's
just told.
It.
That's it.
That's it, yeah. So, he's in it, but it's hilarious. He plays this like gangster and he goes around with like literally one acrylic nail on his baby finger and he goes around pointing at people. Like he's just an absolute character in it. But basically he gets them laundering money through this nail salon and he has them kind of hooked where they can't get out of it. And then they kind of step it up and things get out of hand and it's just full of drama. And every episode is like there's something going on.
We have a clip from it.
What are you doing?
She's ripping up a check. Are you blind too?
I don't understand. This was all worked out. We had a deal.
$50,000 is only a fraction of her dead husband's take. So y'all are lying.
Busted.
See, I know you're making bank up in here. And I came to get my piece.
I can assure you, your buyout was extremely generous.
You're laundering $2 million a month through the casino. The beautiful thing is, I don't care. As long as we get 50% of what y'all are pulling in.
You are walking into a world of pain, sweetheart.
Hey! Watch it, asshole.
We'll give you $500,000 to walk. Plus Valentino purses for all of you.
The Garavani one with the silver studs?
Ooh, Desna, can we talk about this?
Settle.
Okay.
Me and my girls ain't going nowhere, bitch.
but we will take them bags.
Okay, got me interested. That's Claws. And tell us about Peacemaker.
Peacemaker is a new one out with DC. It's I think that one is on I think that might be on Disney. I'm not too sure. Oh no, it's not actually. I actually cut that out because I think it's actually Marvel.
It's a DC Comics one, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I think Marvel's with Disney. Oh, I'll probably get shot for that now.
Whatever. It's somewhere.
It's somewhere. But Peacemaker is great. John Cena is the main character in it, and he plays this superhero called the Peacemaker, and it's without giving anything away. His dad is also a superhero, and but he's evil, and there's only 8 episodes, but it's basically like he gets out of prison and he gets assigned to this kind of secret assignment to try and like take out like all these evil people. Basically, they're called butterflies, but it's mixed full of humor and action, which is great. And I actually, you know what, I wouldn't be John Cena's biggest like fan. Like, I think he's like an amazing person, but like in movies and stuff, like I wouldn't be like, oh, he's amazing. But he actually totally nailed, I think, this role. He was perfect for it, and he has a little sidekick eagle called Eagly, which is, it's really good.
All right, look, we're out of time. Aoife Dooley, thank you so much for joining us for the Culture Club. Aoife's most recent book, which has got enormous praise and rightly so, is Frankie's World. Thank you very much, Aoife, for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.